realize is still lying. He's still doing these things. He's doing them in all of our lives this morning in one way or another. Where we, like Adam, believe Satan's lies that when God gives us an instruction, that God is actually trying to prevent us from experiencing better joy or more life or more pleasure or whatever the case might be. And we, like Adam and Eve, think, I think there's something else out there that you're holding out of me on. And we kind of run through those road signs and we get into giant messes where we ultimately cause a lot of harm in our life because we believe the lies of Satan that God is keeping something better from me. So let's go after these things in this way. Or where we, like Moses, believe the lies where I can't be used by God. I'm not a good talker. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not attractive. Whatever the case might be, we believe these lies that because of who I am physically, God cannot use me in the kingdom of God. And many of you, quite honestly, many of you will never get to experience the joy and privilege it is to be used by God in his glorious work because you believe lies of Satan as it relates to your physical abilities and gift and talents and your resources in this way. And you almost like you step out of the real game of life because you've believed these lies around your life. Or where we like Elijah. And listen, if you're someone here this morning and mental illness is a part of your story, you need to find comfort in people like Elijah as you read the scriptures because they get it. There's a space there in the scriptures where it speaks into this reality that many of us walk in profound ways where we become just like Elijah, where we believe the lies of Satan, where no one really understands the struggle that I'm in. No one really understands the darkness that clouds my mind in one way or another, and we, like Elijah, can even find ourselves praying out, just end it all. Just end it all. It's not worth going through 50 more years of this. Many of us are in that space this morning in one way or another. And what's bizarre about Elijah is, it's not like Elijah hasn't seen God work. Like, a few days before this prayer, he's the one that's on top of Mount Carmel, and he's asking God to, like, show up in the form of a lightning bolt, and God does. And sends it down and burns up the offering, and then after this great display of God's power in this moment, he then goes to sit in front of Jezebel, and she's like, I'm going to kill you. And he forgets all that's happened, and he runs away, and he finds himself in a cave. And there in this moment, he's just overwhelmed with grief and sorrow and cloudiness, and I just don't want to live anymore. And to many of you this morning, you have seen God's power just like Elijah. You have been a witness of it. You've experienced it. And yet, like him, within a matter of 24 hours, these thoughts can kind of creep in, and we find ourselves praying the same thing that Elijah has done. Elijah has prayed. Or we can be like Saul, Paul, where we will believe Satan's lies and we will act and do things thinking that we're actually doing the God-honoring thing. Only to discover days or weeks or years after the fact that decision was not at all the God-honoring thing. I'll give you an example. Given the work I do over the years, I've spent a lot of time with couples, particularly trying to sort out their finances together as a couple, where they're struggling with debt and the stress that it creates in their life. And oftentimes, there's a moment in that couple's decision where they have said, we believe God was telling us to go and do this. And they've taken out a massive debt, and I'm not talking a home, I'm talking sometimes it's a vacation. They've taken out a significant loan, believing this is where God was telling them to go and do, and then 7 years later, 10 years later, 40 years later, struggling under the weight of that debt. There's all kinds of examples where I could give where I've talked with couples or individuals where they thought they were doing something God was asking them to do, only to realize days, weeks, or months later, this isn't at all godly. And all of the experiences that they now face are directly connected to this moment in their life, this decision that they made. Or on this particular day, there's all kinds of other examples, but on this one, to fathers. And oftentimes, Mother's Day, Father's Day, it's a weird space where, we tend to celebrate kind of moms and dads when they get it right. But there's some dark aspects to these days where mothers and fathers sit under the realities of all that they've done wrong. And I know lots of fathers who believe the lies that what they've done to date is so bad that there's no point in even trying anymore with your kids. That the ripples are so significant that I might as well just kind of be the absent guy, because to try to even get in, it's just going to be stonewalled at every step of the way. And we believe those lies as well. In a former church that I worked in, there was a lady that disclosed that she struggled with an eating disorder. And even in this space, I often remember how she articulated the moment she ate something, the liar would come and tell her that she was disgusting, that she was a pig, that she was da-da-da-da, and she believed those lies, and it just perpetuated this cycle in her life in destructive, harmful ways. The liar is still at work, still convincing people that what he says is true, and we act in those ways in one way or another. And closely related to last week's theme and conversation, the liar continues to come to us. And he tells us things that are not true. And yet, we believe that they are true. Jesus, in John 8:44, explains why we cannot tell the difference between the lie and the truth. And there are a few places where Jesus is so pointed as he is in John 8:44. We've touched on this over the years in a variety of ways, which none of you like, because you tell me. But it is what it is. And my plea to you, and it will always be, the sooner you come to realize this, the better your life will be. So we're going to put John 8:44 back up, and this time we're going to read the other half that's highlighted in blue. And this should help you realize why we believe the lies. Jesus, to you, to them, you belong to your father, the devil. Happy Father's Day. You want to carry out your father's desires. And there are times where I love to actually tell you what Jesus says about life. And then there are other moments where I'm like, I have to tell you what Jesus says about life. This is one of those moments where you're like, that's not true. Oh, okay, then just keep doing what it is you're doing, and everybody dies in the end. Or you can believe what he has to say on this matter to be true, and it will be very, very helpful. I've come at this theme before through your children, where the moment your we had a friend that lives in Nova Scotia that gave birth to their third beautiful little one this weekend. Facebook pictures all over the world, beautiful baby. Belongs to the father of lies, according to Jesus. And if you have kids, at least give me this. Be honest. Do you teach your kids to be selfish? Do you tell them no? Do you tell them in a one-year-old's way how to swear, the way they know how to swear when they're one? I don't think you do. I don't think you pull out a different manual that I read that said, here's how you get them to curse when they're one. Here's how you get to convince them that the entire universe is theirs to control and own. Where do you think this thing comes from? Where do you think the desire to be the boss and to disobey and to say no and to be argumentative? It's why parents spend all of their life teaching them to share and say thank you and manners. It's because it's not the default setting of their soul. At least say, yeah, that's true. And then it forces you to say, well, where does it come from? Well, according to Jesus, it's beyond just human nature. It's because there's an ownership issue at play here where we belong to our Father, the Father of lies. Jesus is saying this to a group of first century religious leaders. And you wonder why they wanted to kill the man that was very loving towards the elderly and fed the poor. Here's why they wanted to kill the man. Because in these moments, he's telling religious men who believe in Yahweh that their father is the father of lies, and all that they want to do is carry out the desires of their father, who is the devil. And if I can be honest with you, I'll go one step further. This is why we often disregard, ignore, and hate what Jesus has to say about life. When he introduces a concept to us, you've heard it said, but I say to you, the masses of the world are like, that's foolishness. Yes, because your father is in fact the devil. So when the heavenly father says this, you're like, that's ridiculous. That's foolishness. Yeah, because I'm over in this camp. And Jesus is identifying who our father is on this particular day. And his words, they're attractive. It lines up with these weird desires of our heart. And we run after them. And again, at least grant me this, which is why after we act in these ways, use revenge, for example. How many of you have had that moment where it feels good to tell someone off when they've hurt you? Like that, it's like 30 seconds. I'm like, I let them speak my mind. I'm like, yeah, how do you feel now? Awful. Like I actually have more work to do now. That I don't actually want to see that person anymore when we were best friends 4 days ago. And because of what happened here, now that relationship's ruined. But I got my zingers in. Like there's these moments, whenever we act on these lies that Lucifer gives to us that we believe is true, it always leads to brokenness on the other side. In relationship, in our words, in our deeds. And we can paint thousands of examples of how this gets played out. When we believe the lies of Satan, our father, it always brings us into spaces of harm and death. And for all of us here this morning, I would bet my life that we all, from time to time, have acted on the lies that we have been told, believing that they were true. And sometimes, knowing that they're actually awful, and we do it anyway. And after a while, it's exhausting. How many of you have ever heard anyone talk about how much they miss, like, their high school days? Like, you remember when in high school, like, summer of 69, like, kind of that whole flavor where you, like, look back? Yes? Like, there's that part in our culture. Like, don't judge us. My mom and I, my wife and I, who is mother of our children, me and my mom, we watched a little bit of the movie Sisters, Amy Poehler, and that whole thing. And, like, here they are, like, late 40s, hating the version of their lives, throwing a party for all their high school friends. Because they long for, and here's why. Because for the vast majority of the world, our culture, our context, we hadn't been beat up by life yet. And if we could just get back there, free, whatever, Friday, woo, like that whole space, and then 40 years later of life, it's exhausting. It's exhausting, and it's painful. And often our resume is filled of these moments where we acted on lies that we were told by the father of lies and has brought harm into our life in one way or another. And it's Jesus in this moment where he enters that scene and says, hey, if you're tired of life this way, if you're frustrated with the foolishness of the version of life that you've created for yourself, if you're really after life, look no further than me. I can make you my child, I can give you rest, and I'll lead you into all truth. But you must be willing to lose yourself and your version of life as you know it. And you might be sitting there thinking, where does Jesus say that? Well, we're going to put these up on the screen. Hopefully this works this time. First service, I thought they just completely ignored my instruction and were mad at me. And I wanted to act on the lies and say, what is wrong with you? Anyway, we're going to read this. Oh, yeah, we're here. Matthew 11. This is Jesus to you and me. On the blue, like last week, I want you to say it with me. Can we do that? Here we go. Matthew 11, 28, 29. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 16:25. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. I want to be clear with you this morning. According to Jesus, through John 8:44, you are born into and belong to a family where your father is the father of lies. And we have been fooled by his lies for many moments of our life in one way or another, and we have all felt the sting of these lies in our life. And if you want a different father, I know that in our earthly life we can't, like, I'm tired of my real dad, I want to get, like, we can't do that. But in our spiritual life, this is the invitation. I can choose to have a new one. And the father that I'm truly after, that I long for, is not known for his lies, is not known for his untruth, but it's known for his truth. And his gifts are incredibly good and beneficial for my life and for yours. And it's easy to get a new father in this conversation. Jesus simply says to us, just follow me. Trust me. Trust my life in that it was perfect. Trust my death in that in my death I defeated death and I offer forgiveness. Trust my resurrection, where in this moment I begin to make all things new again. Trust my return, that at my return all things will be made new again. Trust my words, that while you live your life, they actually lead you into what you're really after, which is life. And there's a picture that I want to leave you with today, but when we actually kind of make Jesus our new father, here are two profoundly awesome blessings that that means in our life, while we live our life up until the day we die. Two gifts that help navigate our lives through the minefield of the father of lies that he lays down for us. And we'll put them up on the screen. Number one is this, the spirit of truth. This is Jesus in John 16:13. I'm not left on my own. When I choose to have a new father in the spiritual sense of the word, where I begin to trust Jesus Christ, he gives me the spirit of truth. This is his words, where he says, when he, the spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And it allows us to pick out the voice of the liar versus the voice of the true father and follow in his footsteps. There's a psalm that David writes where he says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path. You read Psalm 119 and pick out how many times he uses the words path, light, straight, narrow. I keep going because your words are a light unto my path. Your words are a light unto my Monday, my Tuesday, my Saturday night, my Friday morning, my dealings with my wife and my children and my work. And your words are a light unto all that I do. And you give me this spirit that helps me navigate and stay on the trail. And then second is this one. It's empathy, which ought to be a deep sense of comfort for you. This is Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest, or, if I may, we do not have a heavenly father who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. And here's this kind of phrase or picture I want to leave you with this morning. Our Heavenly Father is not hard on us when we get misled by the lies that the father of lies tells us. Our Heavenly Father understands just how hard it is to pick out the difference between truth and a lie, because he lived life. He was a man. He was a perfect man. And he understood all the work that he did to cultivate the relationship with the Father through the Spirit. He understands how tricky the evil one is as he comes to us lying to us. He was perfect. He gets it. He understands. And when we trip and fall, he's not hard on us. He understands how hard it is for us to navigate through life. Our daughter Jacqueline is learning to ride her bike. Some of you, I think, saw that video on YouTube that we posted several weeks ago. As a father, like my Heavenly Father, I want her to succeed. And there are things that I instantly realized that I did not tell her the moment we took off the trailing wheels and I pushed her down the green hill. I did not instruct her on how the brakes work. I did not instruct her that there is a little electric fence at the end of the row. I did not instruct her on kind of the turning and gravity and balance and some of those things. It was just like, I think you're ready. woo! And away she goes. And she, by the grace of God, did pretty good. And she kind of veers towards the trampoline. And if you watch the video all the way to the end, there's Rebecca who kind of stops her from going to the trampoline. She says, I saved your life. Like kind of this moment of how proud Rebecca is, who is now clearly becoming the big little sister, because Jacqueline is a monster compared to her. But there's this space of a dad where I want her to succeed. And when she falls off her bike, when she doesn't put the simple words of instruction that I give to her into practice, when she doesn't do this, I can come down on her hard and say, what's wrong with you? Can't you see the electric fence? Why can't you hold your balance for more than 3 seconds? I can come, or I can remember how hard it was to learn to ride my bike. I can remember how hard it was to avoid the giant curb at the end of my street. I can remember how hard it was to hit the first jump where I thought I was going to die in the landing. And out of that space of, I understand how hard that is, I can come alongside Jacqueline and encourage her to keep on going. Yes, you're going to fall. Yes, you're going to. But get back up. I understand how hard it is. And this is this picture that we gain from Scripture where God comes to us not to be hard on us, but he understands how hard it is. And he comes to Adam and Eve after they make this catastrophic mistake in the garden. And I love it. We often don't get there in Genesis 3, but God comes to them in the garden, providing for them, making them clothes to meet their needs in this new reality that they brought upon themselves. He comes to them. And more than that, he tells them, I'm going to make it right. Genesis 3:15, Satan, Eve, there's going to be struggle between you all of your days. But I'm going to destroy the head of the snake. And we know how the story ends. From Eve's line comes Jesus. So all the while they make this mistake, God comes along to restore in this beautiful picture of who Jesus Christ is. Moses, I can't go to Pharaoh. Because I can't talk. I'm not a good communicator. It's going to be awkward. And God's like, all right, Aaron will go with you. And he will be the voice that you desperately don't think that you have. And Moses goes and Aaron partners and they go and actually bring about this beautiful picture of God's restoration as they bring the people out of Egypt as a foreshadow of what is to come in Jesus Christ ultimately. Elijah, you know the story. We learned it when we were kids. God comes to him, kind of calls him out of the cave that he's in, and kind of like, well, through the storm and through the hurricane and through the fire, God's voice isn't there. But in the whisper, he tells Elijah, there are thousands of men and women who have not bent their knee to the gods of Baal. Your life is worth living. Don't succumb to the lie that it's not worth living for anymore. Saul, Paul, if there is ever a guy who's testimony is ruined amongst Jesus' followers, it is this guy. And Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus, and his name is changed, his life is changed, and then he goes and plants hundreds of churches where thousands of people come to know the Lord. Peter, after he denies Jesus, he runs away. Jesus has to go find him, fishing again, of all things, and says, go and feed my sheep. And Peter goes, he's restored and preaches, and thousands of men and women come to know the Lord through his preaching. As we follow, as we grow, as we learn to put Jesus' words into practice, as we grow in all that God has made available to us through Jesus Christ by faith, make no mistake, the liar will come to you and will very convincingly tell us to go here, do this, run after that. And our only hope in this moment is that we trigger or move into, act upon the spirit of truth that's been given to us as a follower of Jesus Christ, that leads us around those minefields that we might experience life and life to its full. And listen, and when you get it wrong, I haven't met anyone who's like, I'm so connected to, they don't talk like this, but in my mind, that I always act right. Liar! Like there's that small moment where I accuse them, because the scriptures say, those of us who say that we're without sin, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. When we stumble and fall, when we fall off the bike, when we have a Heavenly Father who's not hard on us. We have one who understands how hard it is and says to us, get back up. Get back up. I understand how tricky he is. I understand all the ways he comes at you. I understand. Keep going. You're not out of the game yet. I'm going to invite Dana and the team to come. They're going to lead us in a few songs. I know that on this day, Father's Day, there are a few opportunities in life where we get to pick a new father. This is one of those days. If you're in a space where you are more than aware that for your entire life or the last few years of your life, the words of Jesus where your father is actually the devil, the father of lies, and you want a new father, well, Jesus makes that invitation to you. And if you want to chat about how one does that, please don't leave this day, because very, very few times do we have opportunities to get a new dad. And this is one of those days. Would you pray with me, and then Dana's going to lead us in a song. Dear Heavenly Father, the reality of who my father was years ago was obvious. And as I continue to do life, I'm aware of how the father of lies is continually at work in my own life, as he is in all of our lives. And I love the fact that as your son, as many other sons and daughters here this morning, I love the fact that you have given me the greatest help that I need, and that is the Spirit of God that helps me discern and to identify what is truth and what is a lie. You've given me the strength to walk in those spaces by your Spirit. It is by the grace of God that I am saved. It is my prayer this morning that there would be someone here who they're just tired of the life of what it's like under the Father of Lies. And that they would come to understand that their Heavenly Father has offered something vastly different that's beautiful. And says to us, I understand how hard it is. And rest and life is found in a walking, living relationship with Jesus Christ. That we would grow in this reality on an ongoing basis, where we begin to recognize and hear and feel the Spirit of truth at work in us, leading us into all truth, so we might live. God, I thank you so very much for this day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
To next Sunday morning with you, hopefully one service, 10 o'clock outside on the green space. Bring a chair, bring a blanket, bring some food to share, salad or dessert. We'll look after the meat side of things. On this Father's Day, as you go from here, it's rare that you have an opportunity to pick a new dad. And Jesus gives us that opportunity. And when we do, it's amazing that he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead us through the minefield that the liar lays down before us. And in some ways, it's even better to know that he understands how hard it is. And he doesn't come down hard on us, but he comes to us and says, get back up. Keep on going. I have a life for you. Pursue it by faith. Follow my words. Pay attention to my spirit that you might experience life and life to its full. Have a great afternoon. Happy Father's Day. Enjoy your day. It's been good to see you. God bless.